1984. The interviewer is Rita Kirchgesner. The interviewee is Floyd Hornback, H-O-R-N-B-A-C-H. We are in York Township of Dearborn County.
You're gonna watch those.
There we go. Okay.
Huh?
Okay, now we want you to start out telling us about the Hornback family.
Okay. Andrew Hornback, he settled in York Township in 1865 and lived on a property now owned by Mussman. And he had 13 children. One of whom is Charles Hornback, who lived on York Ridge Road and property now owned by Raymond Miller, who has since torn down the house and rebuilt. Charles Hornback had a store on this property, which I remember going to when I was 4 years old. He also bought cattle, grain, and hay and would haul it to Guilford and put it into boxcars to ship out to Cincinnati and so forth. He made his trip to Cincinnati through the mud roads with his team of horses to pick up groceries for the store and take produce and such an age. Now Andrew Hornback, he had 13 children, and some of them, there was 1, 2, 3, 6, there's about 9 of them that settled here and lived.
Do you know their names?
Yeah, that lived in this area. And Albert Hornback, he lived where Gilbert Hartman now lives.
Okay. Do you know who Albert married?
Yeah. Did you turn it off?
Oh, it's okay. We got plenty of tape. You can go get it. Because that's what they really want, like his names and such.
You don't
want to
know where they live?
Yeah, that'll be good. Because, you know, like, I know where these places are. We can fill them in later.
Yeah, my great-grandparent.
Yeah, we could start with them.
Yeah, Andrew Hornback. He was born in Baden, Germany. He lived in Middletown for a while, and he settled in New York Township. And he married Frances Kirchkopf. She was also born in Baden, Germany. And then they had... Like I say, they had 13 children. 2 of them died in infancy. And Albert Hornback, he married Sophia Beam, and they had 8 children. It was Lewis Hornback, Lena Keeble. Lena, she married a Keeble. Anna Snetzer, Elizabeth Fuchs, Louisa Wayhouse, Rose Helfrich, Cecilia, and Otto. Otto died in early age. Then there's Lena Hornback. She wasn't married. And then there's Alias Hornback. He married Ann Catherine Giveling. They had 6 children, John, Frank, Adolf, Charles, Theodore, and Carrie. She married a Hildebrand. They lived in Middletown. Now, Louisa Hornback, she married John Krieger. Her name was Clara Rose. They had 7 children. There was Clara Rose, Mary Winter, Catherine, Jake, Frank, and Bill. Now, they lived, Louise Hornback, they lived where McBeast now lived. Now Charles Hornback, he married Rosina Keeble. They had 10 children, Joseph, Carl, William, Sophia, Otilda. Louise married a Young, Louise Young, and Helen married Lang, and Joe Martin, and Adolf, John F., and Josephine. John Hornback was one of the children. He wasn't married. Then they had Jacob Hornback. He married Mary Weedolf, and they had 8 children. Frances Hartman, she married a Hartman, Frances did. And August Hornback, Anthony Hornback, Gertrude Philomena, and Marie Hornback, she married a Vogelsang. Henry and Elnora, they died in youth. Then they had another son, Joseph Hornback. He died at the age of 14 in 1866. Then there was George Hornback. He married Helen Agee. Now they lived where Dave Gardman now lives. They didn't have any children. Then there was Michael Hornback. He married Elizabeth Steinmetz. And they had 6 children. Michael, Edward, Olivia, Nordmeyer, Ludwina. She married a Snetzer and Raymond. And then Geneva, she married a Vogelsang. And the other one was Mary Hornback. Now Michael Hornback, he lived where Agnes Leland now lives, and then he had property back on where Stevens lives now. Now Mary Hornback, she married Philip Fuchs, but they didn't have any children. Now they lived back on the old place where the Andrew Hornback now lives, and that is owned by Mossman.
Okay, now which one of these was your grandfather?
Charles Hornback is my grandfather.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then he married Rosina Keeble.
Yeah.
Okay, and then your father was who?
It was John F. Hornback.
Okay, and you want to tell us a little bit about, like, your father and grandfather, what they did for a living and such, what the Hornbacks did? I know you were looking for
him before. Well, yeah, I say, Charles Hornback, he had a store about 2 miles down the road here where Ray Miller is. And as far as I know, that store must have started about 1900. And then it discontinued, I guess, in about the 40s or 50s, somewhere in there. But I can remember, I mean, they had, when I was 4 years old, I remember getting in trouble in there.
What did you do?
I can't, it was bad. and then he also, he bought cattle and sold them and traded and stuff like that.
Did he have like a general store too?
Yeah, it was a general store. Mm-hmm.
What kind of products did they have?
Everything.
Everything?
They even had goods and shoes, and they had groceries and candies, and just about anything you'd find in the store in them days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They had a pretty good line of stuff. I mean, it wasn't no big store, but they had a little of everything. People used to come for miles just to buy shoes there, my dad tells me. And my dad, when he first married, that's John Hornback, he lived, well, first when they got married, they lived up in Hamilton for about a year, and then they moved down to next to the store down there where Martin Keeble owns the house now. And that's where I was born. We lived there from 1914 to 1919 at a log house. And several of us in the family, 3 of us were born down there. And then my dad bought my mother's home place, Aggie Place, and then we moved up there. And there were 6 of us children. And Dad farmed, and he also had some other jobs, like he was councilman, county councilman for about 32 years. He was on the advisory board for a good long while.
He wasn't
township trustee.
But I mean, he was on the advisory board.
Yeah, and county councilman. And he also had some jobs like measuring ground when they had to measure, see how much tobacco and stuff they could sell and stuff like that, see. And then he was in the insurance business a little bit. He was an appraiser for insurance company. He'd, sometimes he'd, what's called sales, he'd be the clerk at sales, and he had several pieces of property that he was administrator over, administrator. And he'd done a lot of things like that, but mainly he'd done farming. We raised tomatoes during the hard years there in the 30s.
Really?
And we'd raise them by the truckload then, but about 4 or 5 acres we'd raise. And that was the best income you could make at that time, but it wasn't much, but it was something.
How many acres did he farm?
He farmed about 60 acres, I would say. We had a 100-acre farm, and he farmed about, I believe, about 60 acres of it. And he always made a living, and he always had something to eat, but then the Depression years were pretty rough.
Can you give him an idea what life was like in general during the Depression?
Well, I'll never forget back in the 20s and 30s, you know, when you didn't have no lights, you didn't have no inside plumbing, or you didn't have nothing. Boy, the nights would be cold when you'd have to go outside. And I'll never forget in 1932 when we got lights. And we had an old Model T Ford then, and we got in the car and we went up the road and we lit the whole house up, and boy, it looked like from before, a little candlelight. And it looked like a hotel all lit up. But we had lights, and man, that was something.
Were you one of the first in Yorkville to have lights?
No, it come through in this area.
Yeah, well,
everyone got them. Uh-huh. Well, not everybody. Some of them didn't sign up for them, see. And they didn't all get them.
But 1932 was the year.
Yeah, it was the year. I'm pretty sure I'm right on that.
Yeah.
And but that was a great thing. That electric was about the best thing ever happened. I mean, as far as, you know.
Before the water came.
Yeah.
Like,
and then days, you know, you didn't have no furnaces. You had stoves, and you might have to have one downstairs and one upstairs. Or get so cold in your room, your water would freeze. And that, it would really.
Well, they'd like to know what a typical day was like as you were growing up in Yorkville.
Yeah.
What was it like?
Well, when we were, after we got this, what's it called? Well, it was before that, yeah, before we got electricity, we used to have to milk the cows, get up in the morning and milk. After we were older, Dad wouldn't make us milk until we were, say, about 10 years old. But then we'd have to go out and milk in the morning and then get ready and go to school. And then at night, I mean, once we got a radio, and I would say that was in the 20s yet, we had a radio, and then we'd have to watch Lum and Abner. We wouldn't go out and milk until we listened to Lum and Abner or Amos and Andy, see? And that was a big thing in the day, unless we'd go out and milk first and then come in. But we had to listen to that. That was a big thing in days. But radios weren't too plentiful. I remember when the first one I ever heard was Marie Rudolph down there had it. You had to plug it in your ear. You couldn't get no sound anywhere else. And I was pretty young then. I guess that's about 60 years ago, probably. But then things kept improving all the time. But when we were younger, you had to walk to school. There was no transportation. Of course, we didn't have far to walk at. And we'd run home at noon and eat. And then after I went to high school, we went to high school at New Elsa's for 1 year. That was in 1929. And then they closed it up. But there was no bus out there. We had to either drive out or somebody take a horse and buggy and go out. I mean, the Bushers would always have a horse and buggy. We might change off, and we had that old Model T Ford yet. But once that wore out, we didn't have a car till quite a while. And back in the 30s, you couldn't hardly afford a car. And all the kids, I mean, they were, we were, well, I guess four or five of us were at that, you know, barn during that time. And it was pretty rough that way. But we managed, we had a good time. We'd go down to town on the store on a Saturday night or Sunday and play little cards and shoot the breeze.
What kind of cards did you play?
Well, we couldn't play poker much, but we played the euchre and stuff like that. But we liked to play penny ante, but sometimes we wouldn't, sometimes we wouldn't. But we didn't, if we had money, well, we might play for a little while. But the quarter would last you all night back then.
Your parents played euchre and such. Do you know where the game originated from? It's a game that only really played in the Midwest,
yeah.
They say.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Because a lot of them say that when they go up east or whatever, no one's ever heard of the game. Or in Florida, they've never heard of euchre.
That's right. I mean, when you had to go out at night, you had to take a lantern or something.
Really?
Like that. I mean, you didn't have flashlights back in them days. I don't believe. I can't remember us having any. And we'd take a lantern, and you could see for a little ways. And when you went to bed at night, you took your lamp up the bed with you, unless you had three, four lamps. But that's the way you see. Couldn't heat all your house because one stove wouldn't do it unless you didn't want too many stoves. Some of the house was what's called off, you know, in the wintertime.
So you went to grade school at St. Martin's?
Yeah, I went to grade school at St. Martin's and went to New Elsis High School for 1 year. Then the following year, 1929, and 30 is when they started up down in Guilford, and I went there for 3 years. Yeah, and all the rest of us went to Guilford, mm-hmm. Graduated from high school.
What was grade school like at St. Martin's?
Well, it was, I guess we learned something. I mean,
what were your courses?
Well, practically, I mean, we had history, I remember, and we had English, we had arithmetic. We had.
Did they teach you German?
No, I think though I knew how to talk German when I went to school, but they didn't teach it anymore.
You had to speak it, but you didn't know how to write it.
Yeah, uh-huh. I never did learn how to write it, but I do remember. I mean, I can understand a little bit, yeah. But at one time, I could talk pretty good.
Some people still went to confession in German until 1942.
Could be. Yeah, my mother, I remember she'd go maybe later than that.
I'm surprised that they didn't teach it. But by then, you were talking to the sisters from Oldenburg. Were
yeah.
they strict?
Well, yeah, they were. I mean, you went to school to learn, and that's what they done. they wanted you to learn. They didn't want you cutting up in there.
Did you go to church every day?
We went to church every day. And we had, even during the summer months, they expected you to go to church in May. And I remember my mother stressed that quite a bit. And we usually went to school, I mean, to church all during the month of May. See, our school would be out in April back in that time. We only had 120 days, I believe.
School.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, while you were growing up, do you remember your parents ever saying, anything
ever exciting happening
in Yorkville?
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember any of the
old
stories that there was?
Not offhand.
There was really never a robbery or a murder? Or?
No. They never told anything like that. They told some drownings, you know, some people that went, you know, would cross a creek and maybe drown or something like that. There was nobody. But I can't ever remember mentioning anything about any robberies or anything like that.
Then why everybody, people I interviewed, they all state the same thing, that it was mostly like a farming community with
yeah.
life was basically the same and such. But I know you know the businesses really well that were here. I'd like you to describe like what the town looked like.
Well, in my time, I mean, of course, I was a little late for some of that, but you remember the Hornback store down there and the Weedolf store. I remember the Weedolf store before they had put their saloon on there. I mean, there wasn't, they had the post office there then, and then that's saloon. And them days, you had your slot machines, you know, and they done pretty good on them slot machines, you know.
Really? I didn't realize they had slot machines there.
Yeah, but they were, you know, then they had to be discontinued later on. They were kind of loud for a while. And, they done pretty good on them. And they had them all over. I mean, this wasn't the only place they had them. But I remember right here where I live here, where there used to be a shop. This Zimmer, Nick Zimmer, he had a hardware shop here. He sold them, you know, farm implements and stuff like that. And it was... I can remember that, and I guess it was must have been torn down in around 1925 or 30. And this house, part of this house, is made of that lumber out of that shop.
And when was that shop here? Do you know around the approximate dates?
Well, I say in 1925 it was probably torn down, but I don't know when it was built. But I know when we around here, you could still tell where the roads and everything were yet when we bought this stuff. See. I mean, bought the property. Albert Feist had built the house here. Ed Ost was the carpenter that built it. The front part of the house, not the whole house. And it was built pretty good. And it had popular lumber in it. And that lumber is really holding up good. I know I've had it checked out, and it's really... But I remember... Like I say, that store down at the... I can just barely remember where there used to be a saloon right down there past Cash's.
Okay.
And I remember, I think Charlie Zerr run that one time for a while. I can just barely... I guess I was... It must have been before the... I must have been awful young. I don't know. I just barely remember that part of it. But I can't remember any of these other saloons that they used to say they had here, you know. Like saying they were...
There was supposed to be one across the street.
Yeah.
My Hornback.
Hornback, but I can't.
But I think those were pretty well gone by the turn of the century, too. I remember one time you were telling me there was a blacksmith shop.
Oh, yeah, there's a blacksmith shop right down the road here. Bob or Eric... Hartman's house is now. That used to be a brick house there. I don't know if you remember that or not.
No,
yeah.
Remember.
And on this side of that, there's a little blacksmith shop where the people used to come and have their horses shod. John Miller, he was these millers around their grandfather. He ran that for a good while, and then Bill Miller, his son, kind of helped him out later on. I can remember. Bring horses in there, sure.
Are there any other businesses in Yorkville that you know of?
I can't think of anything.
Because I know the post office was always the general store. Do you remember when the railroaders would come here?
No, but my dad tells about it. I mean, you know, when they built the railroad and stuff like that. I guess that was back about the time when I was born, 1916, I believe, the railroad went through here, if I'm not mistaken.
And they said some of them boarded in Yorkville.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember my mother saying that there used to be some stay. They had a house, an old house down below the place there, and they used to camp there, you know, in that house or around there. And then they... Now my dad tells that one time they thought about bringing that railroad right up the hollow here and maybe right through here, but it wasn't never went through. But I don't remember. It was just a little bit before. You know, I guess I was just born or something like about that time. I can remember when they put the, I don't know if you know about this oil line they put through here. They had an oil line through here at one time.
Where did that run? Let me flip the tape.